KO4NUE, KI4DTY.
4DTY, KO4NUE.
Yep. Not too bad. I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever.
Been here and there, I guess. Real busy. I've been... Oh, I'm tied up with this whole apers thing. Trying to get it figured out.
I did the warning system the other night.
Yeah, Robert did a great job with the presentation. And we had some issues with distributing the actual slideshow out to some of the club members, but that was on our end. We got it straightened out. But yeah, he did a good job. I appreciate you coming by.
Listen, I enjoyed actually hearing what he had to say and getting the material too. I was thankful that you sent that so that I could kind of view it again.
Well, I'll be sending out some information this week on the Simplex Net. And if you could participate, I think we're gonna solve this issue we had during the snowstorm with you being out of the repeater coverage. But I know you're busy and all, but I think we got a good plan. So we're gonna see how it works out.
When are you thinking that you're gonna do the Simplex?
So the ICS 205 goes out maybe in 2 days, I'd say. So you'll receive a funny looking form in your mailbox email, and that will be an ICS 205. And that's what, FEMA and Homeland Defense and, that's what they use to notify a ham radio station of, I wouldn't say activation, but or to use the hams that they have or their radio operators on staff, however you want to word that. But it's basically going to be your instructions in a control format, in other words. Every little piece of information you need will be there. So let me let this drop. ICS 205 will have a Zoom class, or Zoom session. And then we'll discuss what's going to happen. So basically what's going to happen is each station that wants to participate is going to, well, let me put it this way. So everybody's going to participate. We're going to synchronize our clocks. This is kind of a pretty important step here. So we're going to synchronize our clocks, and each station has 1 minute, exactly 1 minute, to broadcast their call sign and any other information they want for 1 minute. At the end of that 1 minute, they'll stop, and the next station will pick it up, and they'll broadcast for 1 minute. And what that's going to do is that's going to allow each station to listen and hear those stations that they can hear. And then we're going to put that on a matrix, in other words, so that at the end of the exercise, KI4DTY will know exactly what stations he can talk to and what stations he can hear. Let me let this drop. It's completed. Then I'm going to collect all of the station's hear sheets, if that's what you want to call them, or listening sheets. I'm going to collect every station, and I will know what they can hear and who they can't. And I'm going to compile all of that on a map. And I'll put all of the call signs on a map, where they physically are on the map. Then you're going to, once you get that map, you're going to take a ruler and a piece of pencil, and you're going to say, okay, well, I can hear KK4JBQ, so I'm going to draw a line from my call sign to KK4JBQ's call sign. And then I'm going to draw a line from KI4DTY to KO4NUE. So you'll know exactly what stations you can talk to. This is where it gets fun, is that, take Patrick, for example, up in Penrose. I'm not sure you can talk to him. I would say probably not. But let's say, for example, that you cannot. So, if you want to, well, let me finish the exercise up. So, once each station has an idea of who they can talk to, and they've determined their range, then what's going to happen next is we're going to send a complex message from one end of the club or one end of the county all the way up into North Carolina, because that's where our club members stretch. So once, and we'll send a complex message and see how much of it gets through. But the point of the exercise is for you, each station, to know who they can contact, who they can talk to, and who they can hear. So you kind of understand, it's literally going to be connect the dots. If you want to send a message to Patrick, then you're going to contact KK4JBQ. And then it's going to be up to KK4JBQ to contact his station. And in that station, it'll be up to them to contact, say, Patrick. And if Patrick will move in the reverse order. You kind of understand what I hope I didn't complicate things.
Nope, you didn't complicate things at all. That sounds crystal clear and definitely makes sense. It's knowing who to contact so that, you know, the final destination is where you want it to end at. So that makes a lot of sense. And I definitely get that. So yeah, that'll be fun. And I liked also doing the test where I guess it's the telephone system you're doing.
What do you mean telephone system, Daniel? I'm not following you.
You said you were going to pass along a piece of information, almost like the telephone game. But I know the object of it is to actually get the full message across.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so once we get our connections made, and we can actually see that we can send a message from, let's say, you know, Keith is up there in Columbus, and you're in Greer. I don't think there's any way you could hear Keith on Simplex, maybe. But once we get our connections made, then we're going to test things out. And once we, you know, we'll send a little test message, whatever. When we get good at it, then we're going to send a complex message. And let's say Daniel sends a complex message to Keith. And then we're going to track how much of that message actually made it to Keith. And we're going to see how much information gets lost between each operator as it moves. And if it's pretty bad, then I'm going to see if I can get some help from a traffic handler to try to train us on how to properly move the correct, accurate information over distance, because that is an art.
Get that, and no, I think that'd be fun, and I think that'd be cool to see who's even like close to me for Simplex, or you know, even knowing who to contact and where they are.
So once that's done, and you know, we can actually move a piece of complex traffic, then you know, we'll work on. Now we need to work on, okay, how does a station know, how do I word this, how does a station know what time to go and meet on this frequency? So we're going to talk about that as a club and try to work something out so that, you know, everybody knows. You know, hey, we, you know, this is, if there's a, you know, another snowstorm or hurricane or tornado or whatever, you know, if all the operators don't meet up at the same time, then, you know, this could be useless. So we, you know, we'll have to iron that out. But, you know, this, I'm saying this probably a couple of months worth of, you know, trying to get things ironed out. But I'm just kind of really anxious to see if we can do it.
That would be cool, and kind of see how it plays out. And like I said, you know, figuring out the problems. Like we talked about before, you know, with the last snowstorm, you know, it revealed a lot of the chinks in the armor, which is good. I mean, it kind of shows you where you need to beef up and learn, and I think this is a good thing. So I think I'm excited. So yeah, I was wondering what day you were going to try to, or you were thinking was going to be the day where we all, you know, actually operate on Simplex. I was going to, you know, pencil it in on the calendar.
I'm going to send out TS form this week, toward the end of the week, and I'm going to make one more announcement on Monday night, then the next Monday, to see if I can collect any more stations that want to contribute. Right now, we think we've got around 12 to 14 participants. The difficult portion of this is that we really need to know who is going to participate before the initial testing is done. Because if somebody just shows up for the, you know, during the call, then if you think about it, we don't have them on the matrix. We don't, you know, he's not allotted a time, and it just, if you think about how that gets plugged in, it's just not going to work. But what we'll end up doing is probably every month or every 90 days, we'll keep doing this test to bring new members or operators in so that we can, you know, get them on the map and know where, you know, where the connections are, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, bad. Bringing new people on. So I think that's a good idea, doing every, you know, 90 days, 120 days, whatever it is. I think that's a really good call. But yeah, I didn't think about if somebody unexpected shows up and starts responding to somebody else's call out, that could definitely throw everything off. So yeah, totally hear you there.
What I'll do is, when you, like I said, just when you get the ICS form, there is, every block on it is a piece of useful information. It's not necessarily in chronological order or any kind of order other than time. But, you know, every step that we'll take will be, you know, annotated on that form. You'll know what time to be there. You'll know what frequency to be on, and who is, you know, basically who's going to be there. It won't be by individual. It'll just be by a club call, you know. But so once one line is complete and we complete that phase of training, then, you know, I'll send out another ICS form and get everybody used to operating off of, you know, an operational form. And, you know, that will prevent, that'll stop me and other people from having to disseminate so much information every time, you know. We'll just, you know, look at the form. It's right there.
Perfect sense, and I think it'll help clear up any future confusion as well. So, but you had mentioned that I got something else I wanted to ask you, but you had mentioned that my signal is dirty. Is that still true?
We've been messing with you, man. There's nothing wrong with your radio. we got Gary in on it just to mess with you a little bit. And I told Anna, I said, "Hey, you tell him his radio's making that funny noise." And she said, "I don't hear any noise." And I said, "It's there. Trust me. Just tell him." So we got you.
You got me. You scumbag, you. It was driving me crazy. So I literally turned on my Trek radio the other day, and I had my son cue up on my radio inside just so I could hear if it bleeped or something. I'm like, I don't hear anything. So I put my call sign out, and I was like, "Do you hear anything weird?" And he was listening, and he's like, "I don't hear anything, Dad." I hate you, and then you got me with Gary, because I was like, man, it's got to be true if Gary's saying something.
Too much, man. I'd pay him $20 to say it.
Well, I was like, Gary wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. And so then when Gary said it tonight, Gary's like, "Oh, I knew that was Daniel queuing up when he chimed in." And I was like, "What is going on with my radio?" And I literally spent the whole time Anna was talking, I was going through all my settings to see what I had done.
Yeah, so we just messing with you a little bit, bud. You know, we dishing it out. That's all. We know next week it'll be our turn, so we'll stand and take it in turn.
you got me good. So, but what happened to Saturday? I was planning to come, and then I'm glad Patrick ended up saying, "Hey, we canceled it," because I had texted him just about what time he was coming.
Too cold, pretty much. Too cold, lazy, and we were concerned about a little bit of snow accumulating coming down the mountain, and we just didn't want to get anybody hurt, but it, you know, it ended up not snowing, but that's okay. We all did some stuff from home and made some pretty decent contacts. I know I did. I made 20 something contacts, and made one in Palmdale, California. So that was pretty neat.
Well, no, I was planning on coming, and I didn't hear anything different, and so then I just so happened, like, I think at 10 o'clock Friday night, I text Patrick. I was like, "What time are you coming?" Because I was going to try to come about that same time. He goes, "Oh, well, it was canceled." I was like, "Well, thank God. I'm glad I texted you," because I would have just showed up to the property. Nobody would probably be there, but what was the... Were you doing a contest or something?
just a winter field day and just an opportunity for people to try to get out and make contacts. But, you know, the bigger thing there is that, you know, let people get out and test their radios and stations that are in their own backup power and things like that. You can test that out and see how it's going to function. It was just a winter field day where people get out and just test things out and see how they work. It's just that kind of thing, you know.
No, I wasn't sure. When you were talking about you made contact down in, Florida. What frequency were you on?
Contacts I made?
Yeah, I mean, like, were you on 6 meter, 10 meter? What were you doing?
So, I made contacts on. I tried to make contacts on most of the bands and could not do it. But I made some contacts on. One contact was 7.277 lower sideband. That was K3 Sierra, and that was the nuclear ship USS Savannah. They were doing the field day from one of the warships up there in on the nuclear ship Savannah. That's what I wrote down. I did a park activation for W4G, and that was in Georgia. And made a contact in Florida, and Paul Palmdale in Palmdale, California. Call sign was KM6 Tango Sierra. So first time I ever got to California with my radio.
Crazy. You actually got out to California. Now, what radio and what frequency was that?
So that was 991, and I got him here at 75 watts on 21.355, but I couldn't keep him long. He started to fade, but I was able to talk with him for 2 minutes, enough to, you know, exchange a signal report and kind of talk a little bit about weather, and then I didn't lose him. He lost me. I'm not sure what happened. I could hear him just fine, but I just couldn't totally get to him, I guess. But I got contact, so that's all that counts, I guess.
What antenna were you using to do that? And you said that was 2. What meter was that? I'm still learning that stuff.
Hang on, Daniel. Let me straighten this dog out here for a second. He's hung up. I'll be right back. Give me just a minute.
KI4 DTY, I'll be on the side. KO4 NUE.
DTY, KO4 NUE. I'm back, Daniel. You there?
Yep, KI4 DTY, I'm here.
So, it was pretty good. It was a pretty good day. I listened to some kind of argument. A couple of hams got in some kind of argument over somebody was up on the in one of the extra class ranges frequencies, and he wouldn't give his call. And you know, I suspect he may have been unlicensed, or who knows? You know, who knows what happened? But he's he was not going to identify. And there were two or three other stations there that, you know, they wasn't going to let him talk. If you're not going to identify, you're not going to talk on this frequency. So he was just, you know, it was just kind of funny, I guess. You know, they were not going to have it at all.
I mean, I partially get it. I mean, I guess if you work that hard to get your extra, you don't want anybody else talking on your frequency. But, yeah, that's hilarious. So they were basically just blocking him and trying to talk over top?
You know, they tell him, hey, you know, give your call sign. And if you are a licensed operator to operate here, then, hey, you come right on in. But if you're not going to identify, then you are not going to talk on this frequency. So, you know, every time he'd try to talk, he'd say two or three words, and then, yeah, they'd come and just, you know, walk right over him. And then, hey, you know, sir, what's your call sign? And he'd start talking again. And they'd just step right over him, and just, it was going to let him talk, you know. And, I mean, all the guy had to do was, you know, put his call sign out there. So I don't know whether he was unlicensed or he was just trying to start some junk. Who knows? But, you know, those, you know, two, three of them gave him, wasn't going to have it.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess I get it, but that's funny. You do, for your radio, you do seem to have kind of a lot of noise. Is something going on or different with your radio?
990, that 991 is bleeding over into mine, messing my signal up.
Both radios running at the same time?
No, it's your radio. Your radio's so messed up, it's messing mine up.
Don't even start with me.
Man, when you got a radio so messed up, it's messing other people's radios up. Man, that's awful.
Just waiting for Gary to jump in and be like, yeah, your radio's messing up mine too.
Messing with you now for a week or so, and I figured, hey, I better put a stop to it. At any rate, I do have something I want to send you. I'm going to send you a text message, but I don't want you to get mad.
Y'all got me good with the radio. It was driving me crazy, and honestly, I stopped using my 991 because I thought it was screwing you guys up.
Let me get this picture, KO4EU. Let me get a picture here, and we'll send it to you on the phone.
I4DTY.
It's on the way. Let me know when you get it.
Yeah, but have you, I'm assuming you have, but have you talked to Patrick lately? How's he doing up there?
I'm gonna talk with him tomorrow and see if I can, while I'm up there with Chris, if I can make contact with him through Chris's beam. He's got a pretty nice 2-meter beam up there, so me and Chris may work with him a little bit to see if we can get around the mountain and get to him. And if that's the case, then it's going to end up being Gary or Chris that's going to be able to make contact with Patrick and Ed, W-D-A-R-O-N. He's up there in Brevard. So we're going to try to go around the mountain. See if we can work it that way.
So almost like so you would like almost hit Chris and then Chris could hit Patrick by kind of going to the side of it. And I also received a the text to.
So that is my APERS message. So I've got a little radio and got a, you know, a little packet device here I hooked to the radio, and it broadcasts my telemetry. Well, there's a line in there that I can put what I want to in there. You can write, you know, a message or whatever. So you see the voltage where it says voltage and testing?
Yep, I see that.
You see those three letters after that?
Yep. The three letters, or there's two sets of three letters?
That's what it means. Look at your phone.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, just gonna let you know how it can be done.
That's crazy. So you can put whatever message you want in there, I guess?
Pretty much, you know, it's kind of limited. It's to, you know, you don't have the space, but no, I put that in there and beaconed it out for just to see if, you know, I could control the text, because it's kind of sensitive with some of the characters. And I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to knock out two birds with one stone here. I'm going to do a little testing and get Daniel, too. So, but I didn't broadcast it. Nobody'd know what it meant anyway. But just going to let you know that I can beacon you in a minute.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. So what would be the point of using this APS?
It's got a lot of uses, actually. Not for everybody. If you're in front of your computer.
Yep.
I'd go to Google and then type in APRS. /FI.
Go to Google Maps APRS.
In the search block, type in, let's see. Yeah, in the search block, do you see up there where you can seal a block that says track call sign?
Yep.
All right, let's type in, KJ4 Charlie Tango Delta -3 Kilo Juliet 4 Charlie Tango Delta -3. Let me know when it populates.
A4 CTD. You said -3?
Yes.
Okay.
Put your finger on it and click on it. It'll populate with some information there, right?
Date and time and power and antenna and height, dB.
What you're not seeing here is that it also tracks mobile stations. So if you have APRS, you know, on your radio, then it sends out a beacon that tells everybody where you are and what, you know, a little short message if you want to put that in there. But it tells your rate of speed, it tells where you are, and that can be kind of useful under the right circumstances. You know, it's not useful in every circumstance. But, for example, Patrick has an APRS radio in his truck, right? So next time you're in Greenville around lunchtime, you just bring up APRS FI on your phone, type in his call sign, and find out where he is and go eat lunch with him.
That'd be cool. So can you turn it off if you don't want it on?
Oh, absolutely. You turn it off or on when, you know, when you want it or when you need it or whatnot, you know. And if you own some type of, you know, commercial business or something, I don't know if you can use this for commercial business. I'd say you probably could some ways, somehow. I'm not exactly sure. But the other thing is, do you see on the map all those little blue dots that say WX?
I do not.
So, clear out KJ4CTD's search and do, I don't know, station, well, let's see, let's do this, let's do a search for Delta Whiskey 7000, Delta Whiskey 7000. Pop up.
Yep.
Now, to the right, it says in blue, show weather charts.
Yep.
All right, click on it.
Cool.
Yep. All right, let me pause here for a minute. KO4NUE and KI4DTY. If anybody else wants to jump in on the frequency, come on and we'll change the subject. But, Daniel, this, you know, you've got a amateur call sign, so I would go up in the corner and create me an account. It's free, doesn't cost anything at all. And, you know, that'll give you access to, you know, actual moving targets, moving call signs, you know, the ones that choose to broadcast. But the other thing is that it's useful information. So in other words, if you want to know where, if you want to broadcast telemetry, in other words, you want to know what the status of something is. In other words, what is the voltage of this device? Or is this device open or closed? Is what's the temperature in this area, and it's not easily accessible, or if you want to monitor it without being near it, then you know, if you have a call sign, then you just, you know, put a PRS enabled system there, and it will beacon or send telemetry out every 5 minutes or every 12 hours, whatever you tell it to do, and it will tell you the status of that location or what's, you know, what's going on in that location.
My radio, like in my truck, will do APRS.
Need to, you would know it. I mean, it's not going to look any different than any other radio. But just look in the owner's manual and see if it says anything about APRS. And see if that is, you know, available. So the other thing is that you don't, you know, need an APRS radio to, let's say, for example. So trying to explain things sometimes is difficult. So let's explain the scenario. Let's say that your son, your oldest son, he starts dating a young lady, and you don't approve, and you want to know where he's going. So, you know, you go on eBay and get these little APRS trackers and stick it on his truck, and, you know, it'll beacon, you know, every, whatever you program it to beacon at, and you come here to this website, and you know exactly where he is.
Too cool. And this is free. There's no monthly charge to it, is there?
No. No, you got an amateur call sign. That's what it's, you know, that's just what you work so hard for, is to get stuff like this, you know. But, I mean, that's just a drop in the bucket, you know, as far as what all this does. I mean, it's, if you look at the call sign KJ4CTD again, so he's an I-gate. If you look at that little green star, this guy, a green star with an I on it, well, that means he's an I-gate, which means that his APR, he has his APRS set up to interface with the internet. So you could actually send a text message or a email of some sort through your radio to, you know, whoever you wanted to. And I'm sure there's a way for them to reply back through this I-gate and then pop back up on your radio. So, you know, it's pretty useful service there, you know. So they have I-gates, and then they have digipeters, and then they have weather stations, and then, you know, mobile stations and things like that. But, you know, if you know, ever want to know where me and Patrick are, then just look on APRS. There we are.
Like that. I'd come over and harass you during lunchtime.
Oh, man. Come on. It's just, you know, I've been messing around and fiddling with this thing now here for about a week or so, and have, you know, finally got it figured out to, you know, how I can beacon what I want to. And I think, you know, it's going to be useful for, you know, what we want to do with it. But it's a pretty neat system, and I haven't learned everything about it at all. I mean, there's so much more to it. I just, you know, just now starting to learn.
Well, I like it because that's really cool. Like, even if it came down to somebody actually needing help, and you couldn't really figure out where they were at, or they didn't really know where they were at, with this APRS, you could at least get to them and help them.
Yes, I talked with an operator the other day that he used it to keep a check on a family member that could still drive, but had maybe some dementia issues, and it would come on, and when they started the vehicle, and, you know, that's you're exactly right. That's pretty useful. But think about it from this perspective too: is that what if you have a team of firefighters that's going into a, you know, 100,000-acre fire in the wilderness environment? I mean, don't you think it'd be kind of important to know where each one of those individuals were?
If they see it on a map to kind of see who's close to who, yeah, I mean, totally can see where that would be important and helpful. So, no, that's kind of crazy cool.
The thing is, it's not for everybody, you know. I mean, if you're kind of a private person, then, you know, I think this is for you. But, you know, it is useful in the right circumstance, you know. Especially if you want to, if, you know, you just want to link up with somebody for lunch, hey, there it is, you know. Pretty neat.
Cool, I like that. I'm going to have to check my truck radio. I guess I'll check the specs, the little book, and see if it actually has it on it. I would assume there's probably a good chance it has it on it. Now, you were talking about the little APRS, like, tracker thing. Does that link up to your call sign, or what? How does that work?
But you can go to eBay or Amazon and just type in, you know, APRS tracker, and you know they're a little pricey, but you can build them for, I mean, next to nothing. And you know, you just, you know, it's a good way to, if you're gonna, for example, if you've got a construction equipment that you have to leave on a site, you know, you can stick it on that, and if somebody steals your backhoe, I mean, you know, how useful is that to know where, you know, somebody stole a $200,000 piece of equipment, and you know where it is. I mean, that's pretty useful, right?
Yeah, I mean, stinking useful. I was kind of thinking of it for two things. Like I said, for I have like a little Jetta that my oldest would be driving, so I was like, that'd be cool to have something on the Jetta that I could kind of know where he's at. But I was also thinking that'd be kind of cool, but I don't know how much power it actually takes because we have our cases full of equipment. I wasn't sure if it'd fit in that.
The little trackers are about the size of a box of cigarettes, and I think they beacon out maybe a half a watt or a watt, and that's called a packet. So it will beacon out the long, latitude, longitude, the date, and the location where it is. Actually, it's just like your phone, you know. The other thing is that if you, you know, activate your APRS radio and you're coming back from Charleston and your wife, you know, wants to know where you are or, you know, something like that, that's, you know, she'd go to the APRS FI website and, oh, well, he's, you know, he's 2 hours away from home. You know, he's on the way back, you know, so it'd be kind of useful, I guess. But I'm going to tell you something else, too, that you're going to laugh at me, but, you know, I got a pretty thick skin.
Yep.
I put in for one of the local EOCs to, you know, contribute to the community, and they were talking about the service called the Ham Shack Hotline. So at first I thought it was, you know, that's a little kooky, you know. But, you know, I thought, well, you know, I've worked so hard to get this license, I'm gonna use everything I can. So I got on eBay and bought me a voice over IP phone. I paid $10 for it and plugged it right into my server, I mean my modem router in the house, and sent the Ham Shack Hotline a email, told them, hey, I wanted to try this out, and it's free. And man, they configured, you know, my phone for me right there. And anybody that's got an amateur call that has this, you know, uses this service, you just pick up the phone and, you know, some of them you can type their call sign in, and others, you know, they have just a telephone number, you know. So, for example, the other night, one of the guys that logs in on the repeater every night, you know, I just pick up the phone and type in four numbers, and boom, I'm right there on the phone with it, and I got it configured on the screen. It's got the bat phone.
So you were calling the Ham Shack radio hotline or whatever. So were you able to call and like ask questions, or were you answering questions?
No, it's just it's a phone service for licensed operators. But you know, you gotta have a You gotta have a voice over IP phone, a Cisco phone. They give you like six models you can choose from. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know about all this. And let me see how much it costs. So I found a good used one on eBay. And I got it in the mail yesterday. I don't know. It took me and Anna probably, 30, 40 minutes, I guess, to figure everything out and get it set up. And so, you know, just scenario driven here to explain how it works. Let's say you had one. Then, you know, I just pick up the phone and dial the number that's been assigned to you, and it dials straight to you. And, you know, we just talk on the telephone. But the neat thing about it is that it is also RF enabled. So if I want to log into a repeater that has DMR services, then I can actually use my phone over the repeater. Now, I haven't figured out how to do that yet, but I mean, it is RF enabled. And there again, that's something I don't think that's going to be for everybody. It is a little kooky and corny, but, you know, if you're going to, well, I felt like it was important to, you know, if you're going to be a part of a team or something that does kind of emergency services or something like that, it'd just be kind of neat to have a direct line, you know, but, it is a little corny, and it is a little kooky, but, you know, like I said, I labeled it the bat phone.
Corny, maybe a little kooky, but I don't think that's bad either. I think that's kind of cool and crazy. But so it wouldn't be your call sign when you're trying to reach someone? It would just be whatever dedicated number they give you?
Right. So it's just like a telephone number, but it's only for, you know, licensed hams. It's basically a direct line. In other words, if I wanted, let's say you and I were part of, I don't know, the sheriff's department, and you were the sheriff and I was a deputy, and you needed to contact me with a direct line, then you just pick up that phone and dial, you know, the four-digit number that's been assigned to you, and it rings right here in the house. And then you would say, hey, you know, I couldn't get you on the cell phone, so you need to get down here to the office, that, you know, that kind of thing. But the other neat thing is I got on the website, looking around on the website, and they have telephone numbers you can dial that if I want to listen to the BBC, I just, you know, dial in that number and I can listen to, you know, the BBC. Or I can listen to talk radio. There's some other, I think you can listen to the National Weather Service. You can listen to WMV. You can listen to the time. I mean, you know, I just, I don't know how useful it's going to be, but hey, it's here. And so you can call me and Anna Batman and Robin now.
I'll do that. So you got to paint that phone red then, if you're going to be Batman and Robin, so.
You're exactly right. We were watching, so I called one of the guys that's got one of these phones and left him a voicemail. So me and Anna have been watching this program on PBS every night called Around the World in 80 Days. And it's a pretty good series, you know. It's back in 1872, and, you know, it's good entertainment. You know, anything put out by Masterpiece Theater is a good show, so we got, I don't know, probably 15 minutes into it, and, you know, I hear this doodleep, doodleep, and Anna said, oh, it's the bat phone, it's the bat phone. So, off in the head check I go.